بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم ما بعد to proceed إن شاء الله we are continuing with Muhammad as if you can see him صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد كأنك ترى a book that was written about the character of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by Dr. عائد القرني and published by the International Islamic Publishing House. And we've so far covered from the beginning of the book until page 60, which is Prophet Muhammad's mercy. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author here says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mercy, not just as merciful, but as mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ And we have not sent you but as a mercy for al-alameen. Al-alameen means all kinds, not just mankind. It means all creations, all worlds, and all creations. It's related that the Prophet said about himself, Verily I am nothing more than a mercy and a guide. In fact, actually, you may want to correct it. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَى I am nothing more than a gift of mercy. I am nothing more than a gift of mercy. And this hadith is reported by Darimi and Hakim from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So the hadith then would be, I am nothing more than a gift of mercy. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَى Certainly the giver in this case is Allah. The gift is from Allah to us. It also says here that the Prophet ﷺ said, Verily, when he cried over a grandson of his who died, and he was asked about it, he said, Verily, this is a mercy that Allah placed in the hearts of some of his servants. The weeping is a mercy that Allah placed in the hearts of some of his servant. And verily, Allah has mercy only on those among his servants who are themselves merciful. وَإِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَاءِ So this was reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu that a man questioned the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that a man is not supposed to cry in public in the... It's actually not only in the Arabic tradition, it's pretty much in world tradition that it's not manly to cry in public. So the Prophet ﷺ did cry in public, not infrequently. And when he was questioned about this, he said that this crying is a mercy, a manifestation. In other words, it means a manifestation of the mercy that Allah has placed in the hearts of some of his servants. And then to emphasize the meaning and to underscore the importance of this mercy, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرَّحَمَاءِ And verily Allah will only show mercy to those of his servants who are themselves merciful. In everything he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tried to make matters easy for his people, for his ummah. And that's a manifestation of his mercy. In fact, a lot of the talk will be about the ease of the sharia as a manifestation of the mercy of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times in the Prophet ﷺ as the conveyor of the Sharia, the expounder of the Sharia, the explainer of the Sharia. It shows also his mercy in the delivery of this message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most of the talk here will actually be about the ease of Sharia, which is to some extent related to the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ, but may not be as related to the mercy of the Prophet as it is to the mercy of Allah, because the Sharia is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet conveyed it. but sometimes it would show his mercy. The expressions that he used in the delivery of the message, the Prophet ﷺ chose his wording, aside from the Quran, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in meaning and wording, the Sunnah is from the Prophet ﷺ in wording. So the Prophet ﷺ chose the wording, and sometimes that shows the choice of wording shows the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ as well. Part of this is when he would start a prayer and hear a baby cry behind them, he would shorten the prayer because of his sympathy with the baby and the mother of the baby. And when Umama bint Zainab, his granddaughter Umama, the son of his daughter Zainab, cried while he was praying, he was leading the people in prayer. And it was also not usual for a man to really be attached to his daughter, let alone his granddaughter, so the daughter of his daughter. So the Prophet ﷺ picked her up, picked Umama up, and carried her while he was praying. And he would put her down to prostrate, and then when he would rise, he would pick her up again and carry her until he finished the prayer. And the unfortunate thing is no matter how clear the message is or clear the implementation of the Prophet ﷺ, this is not theory, this is practice. So this is not a matter that is subject to different interpretations. It's actually a practice, it's actually his action, his own doing. But unfortunately, in our societies, maybe there is a little bit of revival of those meanings now. But those very manifestations that are prophetic manifestations of mercy would have been condemnable in some of our societies as manifestations of weakness or manifestations of disrespect. You know, how could you do this when you're praying, for instance? And so that we've reached like a level of ignorance that made us see good as evil and evil as good. On another occasion, when the Prophet ﷺ went down to perform prostration during congregation prayer, also Al-Hasan climbed onto his back, and the Prophet ﷺ lengthened his prostration to give him time on his back. And these are all manifestations of his mercy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The choice of wording when he explained things to the Sahaba, his choice of wording, like I said, the ease of the Sharia itself is from Allah, because this Sharia is from Allah, but certainly the choice of wording shows you the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like in the hadith that you have here, which is when someone among you leads people in prayer, then let him shorten it. For amongst them there is the elderly, the young, the sick, and the one who needs to run, the one who has important errands to run or to do. This hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abi Huraira. من أما بالناس فليخفف فإن فيهم الكبيرة والصغيرة والمريضة وذا الحاجة. من أما بالناس فليخفف. He who leads the people in prayer, let them shorten it. فإن فيهم الكبير. Because amongst them is the elderly, the young, the very young, the sick, and the one who is in a hurry. To the point where the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, because he used to lengthen the prayer, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ. You know, the word fatan, it comes from fitna. And fitna is to try the people away from their deen, to cause the people so much hardship that you divert them away from their deen. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ, because he lengthened the prayer. This has to be also taken in consideration, you know, taken in the right perspective, because the Prophet ﷺ himself prayed with 60 ayahs in one rak'ah. So that is also relative. And it is variable, because Mu'adh used to lead people who were farmers, and they were hard laborers, and they woke up early. So he lengthened the Aisha for them to a point that made it difficult for them to wake up early to go to their work and so on. It's hard work. So it varies from one congregation to another congregation. And it is very reasonable that you have a masjid that lengthens the prayers a little bit more than another masjid. So people who want a longer prayer can go to that masjid. People who don't can go to another masjid. Then there is much talk here about the moderation of Sharia and the recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ for the people to take a moderate path. Page 63 here, the third paragraph, the Prophet ﷺ said, do in terms of deeds only that which you can handle, for indeed Allah does not become bored until you become bored. خذوا من الأعمال ما تطيقون فإن الله لا يمل حتى تملوا. Take of the deeds that which you can handle or that which you can tolerate, for Allah will not cease. You know, if you want to translate the meaning here, Allah will not cease to reward you until you cease to do good. So in other words, do the work that you can do consistently. Don't do something that you won't be able to consistently do or to do for the long term. He also said, whenever gentleness is found in something, it adorns it, and whenever it's removed from something, then it disfigures it. إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ مَا وُضِعَ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا نُزِعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. And this is a very beautiful hadith, because particularly if you look at the circumstance of this hadith, you'll understand why it's so beautiful. Because it's about a group of Jews who came and saluted the Prophet ﷺ by saying, السَّامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Sam is death, destruction. So they would say it fast to look like this, as if they're saying "Assalamu alaikum." So, and you know, if you hear a lot of people say "Assalamu alaikum" back in Muslim countries, it would look like "Assalamu alaikum." Almost, you know, most of the people actually say "Assalamu alaikum." Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. So it would actually mean destruction. Let destruction be unto you. But they intentionally said it. So Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, Aisha was very smart, and she was very lively as well. And she was competent and forceful. So she was not the, you know, she was the prototype of the competent woman, not, you know, the weak woman. So Aisha said to them, عليكم السام واللعنة والغضب. May destruction and curse and ignominy or Allah's wrath be upon you. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, ما هذا يا عائشة? What are you doing, Aisha? And she said, أما سمعت ما قالوا? Have you not heard what they said? So he said, قد قلت عليكم. But I said, and let the same be unto you, or upon you. And that just should have been sufficient, you know. I returned the same. It's like, you know, when someone says something to you, and then you say same to you. So he said same to you. And then he said to her, إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ مَا وُضِعَ فِي شَيْءٍ إلا زانه ولن تزع من شيء إلا شانه. Verily, gentleness is not placed in anything, but it adorns it or beautifies it, is not used in any affair in anything, but it beautifies it. And is not removed from anything, but it disfigures it. So once rifq or gentleness is removed from any affair, it becomes disfigured. The Prophet ﷺ also said, "My nation is a nation that has mercy on it." Ummati ummatun marhuma. This is a hadith that's reported by Al-Hakim from Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. Ummati ummatun marhuma. Maybe a better translation would be, my nation is a nation that's granted mercy. My nation is a nation that was granted mercy. Ummati ummatun marhuma. It's very straightforward, right? Ummati, my nation. Ummatun is a nation. Marhuma. That is, has been shown mercy or has been granted mercy. It is also important that you just carry the same feelings for the ummah, the same feelings of mercy for the ummah that the Prophet ﷺ used to carry, because it is in fact not limited to his ummah. The mercy of the Prophet ﷺ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have not sent you but as a mercy for all worlds or all kinds. His mercy certainly exceeded his ummah. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ says, فُكُّ الْعَانِي, release the captive. That captive is Muslim or not non-Muslim? Is non-Muslim, because you can't take a Muslim as a captive. When the Prophet ﷺ talks about gentleness to the captive in general, to feed the captive and to favor the captive over yourself, and so on and so forth, that is not about Muslims. It is about non-Muslims. When the Prophet ﷺ, like we said last time, opened Mecca and said to them, you are all free. These are the very people that fought against them and that drove him away from his hometown, and so on and so forth. So it is not just about Muslims. But it goes beyond this. It goes even beyond mankind to the animal kingdom. In fact, there are so many occasions, like we all know that the Prophet ﷺ gave us two parables that are very, very powerful. A prostitute from Bani Israel who were granted heavens because she gave water to a dog. And a woman who entered the hellfire because she locked up a cat and did not feed her and did not allow her to eat from the insects and so on, or whatever it is that she could find on her own or by herself. So if you look at the two examples, this is a woman who was righteous, but she locked up a cat and she entered the hellfire because of this cat. And another one is a prostitute that gave water to a dog and entered heaven because of this particular act. Also, Abu Dawood reports from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud another beautiful hadith in which in several occasions the Sahaba reported that the animals did speak with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on this particular occasion, this bird was lamenting over the loss of her two chicks. And the Prophet ﷺ came to the Sahaba in distress and told them, "Man faja'aha?" and said, "Man faja'a hadhihi bi waladayha?" So the Sahaba, radhiallahu anhum, they were out with the Prophet ﷺ on an expedition. This little bird had two chicks in her nest, so they took the two chicks for some reason. And then the bird came back and did not find her chicks in the nest. And then she started to flap around her wings in a way that showed distress. So the Prophet ﷺ came to the Sahaba and said to them, he knew that someone took her chicks, and said to them, "Man faja'a hadhihi bi waladayha, ruddu ilayha waladayha." So he said to them, faja'a means like shocked. Faja'a, it's to startle someone with shocking news, shocking bad news. It has this intensity, bad news, intense and sudden altogether. So maybe shocked her or caused her great distress by taking her chicks away. And then Abdullah Mas'ud said, and so we said, O Messenger of Allah, so the Prophet ﷺ commanded them to return the two chicks. In another report, in another incident, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ فَجَعَ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. He's cursed, he who caused her distress by taking away her baby. And this one report, it's like one, not two. So in a different report, the reports about the animals are so many, but anyway, just this is like a sample of the reports from animals. So you would find not only mercy for people, but mercy for the animals. To the point of mercy towards the inanimate objects and beings, even the mountain of Uhud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Uhudun jabal yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu," because the Sahaba were defeated by Uhud. So as not to develop resentment for Uhud, he said to them, Uhud and Jabal, yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu. Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love it. And this is the epitome of harmony with universe, with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to completely have no hard feelings towards any creation, even a mountain. That would be it with regard to His mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.